Where are we at?
All right, we're in Matthew. We've been reading in Matthew. We've been in this, talking about the life of Jesus for the last 3 weeks. Today's the last day of this series. So week one we talked about, go ahead, Jacob.
Are we going to be studying the Beatitudes?
The Beatitudes? No, we are not. I will tell you where we're going after this, when at the end of the lesson. We're going to be doing something for the rest of the year. We're going to be focused on something. What?
Is that a God's door
opener holder? Nah, it used to be a projector holder. Yeah, all right. So, week one, we talked about what?
Jesus.
We've been talking about Jesus. Where does life begin?
Jesus' birth.
Jesus' birth. We talked about the birth of Jesus. And then week two, we talked...
How people came and praised him and gave him gold.
Yes, all right. Then next week, we talked about what? Jesus'
childhood,
we talked about his relationships. Yeah. The people in his life.
I remember last week.
Yep. But what was the most important relationship that Jesus had? Like, go ahead.
His disciples or God?
God the Father. That was the most important relationship that Jesus had, was with God the Father. And then last week we talked about Jesus and the fact that he had a... Say it with me now.
Job.
Yeah. Talked about his job. Well, if you were here last week, which you were, you would remember what we talked about last week. And we talked about Jesus having a job. Someday, you're going to enter the workforce, and you're going to go on to do very important things with your life. That's my hope. That's my praise, Cameron. But nothing that you guys do will be as important as what Jesus did while he was here on earth for us. The game that we played today was about messages, you know? Like, at some point, you've all given and or received a message, correct? Like, you've told somebody something. Whether you have a sibling and your parent tells you to go tell so-and-so to clean their room. If your mom says, you know, Ethan, go tell Elias to clean his room. I guarantee you Elias goes upstairs and he says, Ethan, Elias, clean your room now. Not exactly how his mom tells him to say it, right? Or do you go just exactly how your mother said?
Definitely not.
At some point, though, we've all given or received a message. And the game that we played, it kind of fits in today's theme, I guess, or the topic we're going to be focusing on. What we are all about as a church. What was our theme for camp this year?
Sent.
You just say it out loud right now. We're not raising hands. You can just say it. All right. And what was the purpose? What was the goal? What were we trying to accomplish?
Go. To teach us to,
share the Bible story
about God.
Sharing your faith to being sent. Go ahead. Yep. That's the most important thing that we as Christians can do. So I did a recap, you know. This series has been like a biography. Do you guys know what a biography is? It's like the story of the life of somebody. It's been a biography of Jesus' life. So in short, for the most part, the purpose of the last few weeks was to talk about these things in order, and to paint a picture for us that Jesus was like us, so that you guys can all relate to Jesus' life and kind of relate it to our own lives. Lead us to where we're going today. And that is ultimately that we're going to talk about Jesus' death. One day, all of us are going to die. Everybody's going to die. And Jesus, too, died. Death is often something that's not enjoyable to talk about. It's like most people are afraid of death, I would think. Most people haven't really come to grips with the fact that they're going to die. Especially at your guys' age, it's probably not even on your radar. When you get older in life, it starts to become more apparent to you, you know. You realize time is shorter. Honestly, most people just don't talk about it. And sometimes because they're just unsure. Like, what does death mean? You know, like, what happens after death? Is that just it? Is that the end? And that's a hard thing for a lot of people to just comprehend and to grasp. Simply put, death is scary. It's uncomfortable. It's not something that is easy to talk about. That is not the purpose of today's lesson, though. We're going to talk about Jesus' death. So why do we have to die? Why do we all, why does everybody have to die?
Teacher.
Go ahead.
Because Adam sinned.
Adam sinned, correct. That's exactly what we're going to, but turn to Romans real fast. Romans 6:23. You guys all should know this passage.
Romans 6:7?
No. 6:23.
Romans 4 or backwards?
Huh? It's in the New Testament after Acts.
Romans 6:23.
Yeah, Romans 6:23. Cameron, give it us a second and then you can read it, okay? Should be a familiar verse with most of you. Even you, Bryson. Bryson, can you grab the Bible, dude, and put the paper up? It's one right here. Is there a Bible back there by you, Ethan?
Yes.
Is there a... Dakota, give that Bible to Bryson, please. All right, go ahead. Read it, Cameron.
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
For the wages of sin is death. I asked you guys a question. I said, why do we have to die? Well, for the wages of sin is death. We have to die because there's sin. And then, my next question was going to be, why is there sin? And Lincoln, you answered it. Because Adam and Eve, they ate of the tree of knowledge. And we all come from the seed of Adam. Therefore, we all have to die. Who does not come from the seed of Adam?
Jesus.
He's God. So because of Adam's sin, we're all sinners. We know that. We know our sin separates us from God. But we just read, for the wages of sin is death. This is where we get to the second part of this verse. This verse and why Jesus had to do everything that he did here on earth for us. He taught people why he was here. He showed them compassion. He took care of people that struggled and who were weak. And for all of this, like, what did Jesus get for all the things that he did here on earth? Like, for jobs we get wages and compensation, what did Jesus get? Go ahead.
Stoned.
He didn't get stoned. How did Jesus die?
On the
cross.
Yeah, but he got stoned before.
Yeah, but he got death on the cross. That's the answer I'm looking for. A death fit for criminals. This is an awful way to die. It's a horrible way to die.
He got stoned too.
I don't think he got stoned. He got spit on. He got dragged through the streets. Yeah. People threw stuff at him, I think is what he's talking about. He had to carry the cross on his back. Jesus came to earth. He lived a perfect, sinless life. We learned that the first week. He was born. He lived a perfect, sinless life. That was the difference between him and us. Yet he did all of that, and he died a death fit for people like criminals and thieves and awful people. It's crazy to even think about how someone could just die, something like a death like that for, and be yet such a good person. But Jesus did that. He came and he did that for us, for you guys, for all of you, for each and every one of you, for me. And what's crazier about all of how it all played out is that he did it willingly. Jesus went to the cross and he died this awful death, and he did it willingly. Like it wasn't something like, criminals are like, even people that do bad things, when they come to that moment, if they get the electric chair or whatever, they're still trying to fight for their life. They're trying to save every little bit of hope that they have that they might be able to just live for a few moments longer. But Jesus went to the cross and he did so willingly. So back in Matthew, I pray you guys have been reading. We've been through this over a month now. You guys should have been to the same point. Matthew chapter 27.
What?
Turn there. Are you guys there?
I'm only 16.
Matthew 27. Are you reading a verse a day? A chapter a day, I mean?
Yeah, I think I should have known it later.
We might have not exactly had 28 days.
Wait, 27 what?
27 verse 50. Bailey's going to read it in a minute.
No.
Matthew 27 verse 50. Lincoln. Sit up. We won't sit on the couch, though, if you can't sit up and stay awake.
It's going to be like 6:30 or
7. I promise. Bailey's going to read it. 27, verse 50.
Jesus, when he cried with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost.
Ooh, yeah. Jesus, when he cried again, yielded up the ghost. What does the word yield mean to you guys? He yielded up the ghost. Like it says, Jesus, in verse 50, and Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost.
He gave it up.
Gave it up. When I think of it, it's like to give away.
Surrender.
To yield. Like when you're fighting somebody. Correct. When you see a yield sign, like when you're driving down the road, you're supposed to stop and you're supposed to allow the traffic to continue on. You're supposed to yield to them. They have what's called the right of way. So you stop and you yield and you allow them to go on. You give up your motion so that theirs may continue on. You're giving up like your momentum. You're driving along. You're giving up your momentum so that they can continue on and they don't have to slow down. When I said that Jesus did so willingly, I mean, you see it right here. Jesus had to yield up the ghost. He had to allow himself to die on the cross so that we could have eternal life, as it says in Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. Let me recite the exact verse we were just in. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. What?
For the gift of God is
eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes.
I haven't memorized that verse completely yet.
I didn't want to spout it off and be wrong. Okay. So Jesus loved you enough that he came to earth. He did all of those things for you and for me. To do all that for us. That's a lot. That's heavy stuff. So all of you are sitting here and you're like, okay, we've heard the story, you know, many, many times. We get it. You know, we've heard this a lot. So what is the significance about Jesus' death? What's so different from Jesus dying and all of us dying? And that is that, go ahead.
He didn't get put in a coffin.
He didn't get put in a coffin.
I know, and when someone dies, you don't nail them to
a cross. Across, yes, but there's something
teacher,
more significant. Go ahead.
He flew out of that grave.
He is risen. Yeah, he's not in the grave no more. He's not in the tomb.
He resurrected.
I was just looking for... Go ahead. He conquered it. Turn to Matthew 28. We're going to read verses 1 through 10.
He conquered it?
Yeah, Jesus conquered death. He died. Jesus died. He was buried in a tomb. The stone was rolled over it. All right, we're going to read... you can read 1 through 5, and then you can read 5 through 10, okay? Or you can read 1 through 5, and you can read 6 through 10.
6, 7,
8. All right, go ahead, Levi.
In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene,
yep.
Mary Magdalene, and the other Mary to see this
sepulchre.
And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from the heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His
countenance
was like lightning, and his
raiment
white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye see Jesus, which was crucified.
He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail, and they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me.
Okay. Alright, Jesus was crucified on the cross. Mary Magdalene, she sees this, she watches this, she witnesses all of this. She goes to his tomb, his burial site, to visit him, and an angel appears to them, huh?
He died.
Yeah, and they watched probably I'm just assuming, but probably the most horrific death that they ever saw, or the most, they witnessed the most horrific way probably for somebody to die in their life. And then they're sad and they go to see him, and they roll up to the tomb, and then here, angel appears sitting on the thing, talks about his countenance, and he tells them, like, he's not here. Can you imagine what is going through their head right now? They're like, wait, what? What is this guy? Like, what is happening? Like, he's not here. What do you mean he's not here? And the angel, he knows that they're going to doubt him. Like, they watched him die on the cross. They're going to doubt what I'm saying to them. So he's like, here, you know, come in, see for yourself. Come into this tomb, and see it for yourself. And then the women saw, the angel runs, and he tells them, like, the body's not here, you know. The women are probably thinking, like, oh, it's somebody took it, you know. It's gone. Maybe somebody moved it. They took it somewhere else. And he says to them, go quick, run quick and tell his disciples, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. And it says in verse 8, they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy. So you wake up, you're going to see the tomb of Jesus, you know, that died. You witnessed it, you watched him die, you're just going, you're sad, you just want to go and be around him. And then this all plays out in front of you. This angel tells you he's not there. I don't know what they would be feeling at that time, but it says they felt fear and great joy. They're probably afraid because, like, wait, what is happening? Why is he gone? But also joy because, like, he's alive. He's alive. I'm going to get to see him again. And it says they went on to tell his disciples, but they leave the tomb and they're going to tell the disciples, you know, they don't really know what they just saw. They have to go tell them a message of what they just saw. Just like they got to paint a picture for their disciples and say, like, listen, we went to the tomb. An angel came down, you know, like the guards just fell like they were dead. The tomb was open. Jesus was gone. You know, they have to paint that picture, and these disciples are supposed to believe them. You know, and as they're walking, they're probably thinking all this is playing out in their head. And they went to tell the disciples, and behold, Jesus met them along the way. Jesus knows that they're feeling this way. He tells all of this, and he says, "All hail!" They came and held them by the feet, and worshipped him. And Jesus said unto them, "Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see him." You can just imagine. Jesus, like, takes away all their fear. They're walking along. They see Jesus. At that point, like, they know he's alive. Like, he's here. Jesus is alive. What more reason do we have to be afraid, you know? At that point, there's excitement. They run to tell the disciples. It's easier for them to say what they want to say. That would be the best case scenario of their day playing out. So we see in verse 9, though, that the fear is wiped away. They run into Jesus. Jesus is alive. And he tells the women to go tell the brethren in Galilee, and they should see him. So just like in our game, you know, all of this picture, could you imagine, like, if that was the message that you had to write on your card, how would you get, like, and you had to draw the picture, like, how hard it, or difficult it would be for you to display that to the next person. Jesus wants them to share the good news with the disciples, that he's alive, that he conquered death. So at camp, the theme that we had was sent. You know, our purpose for camp was to what? What was the purpose? What were we talking about sharing? Do you remember?
The gospel?
The gospel. What does the gospel mean? What is the gospel? It's the good news. That's what it means. Corey's whole message, the whole premise of camp was about getting us to share the good news, okay? In the beginning of today's lesson, I said that we'd be talking about the most important thing that we can do as Christians. Read Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. You guys have heard Brian reference this before, I'm sure. Oliver, go ahead. It should be on the same page in some of your Bibles, maybe the next one. Go
ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
Yeah, and what do we call that at church? What have you heard that called before, that passage? The Great
Commission.
The Great Commission.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, one of the most important things that we can do as Christians is make more Christians. And the only way that we can make more Christians is by sharing the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. So when someone mentions the gospel to you, what are they sharing? Like, if someone comes and shares the gospel to you, what are they telling you about?
The good news.
The good news, which is?
The Bible, or like, Jesus, the Great Commission?
Jesus' life. They're just sharing the good news of Jesus' life. He came, he died for you. He lived a perfect sinless life, and he died on the cross for you. Not for me, not for all of us, but for you specifically. You know, he died for everybody. But you, you know, because you were a sinner from the time of Adam, like Lincoln said, you know. We're all sinners. We're all destined to go to hell. For the wages of sin is death. We're all destined to die. So sharing the gospel, it's just sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. The last 4 weeks, we've been talking about Jesus' life. 3 weeks and then today. We've been talking about the life of Jesus. The fact that he was born, the fact that he had friends, the fact that he had a job, and then him dying on the cross for us. So if you left camp and you're like, you were wondering, I mean, we did examples, we were given opportunities, me and Cameron have conversations, you know, to share the gospel, to invite somebody to church to do that. If you left camp and you're still wondering, like, how do I share the gospel? I don't know the words, I don't know where to start. Start here. Like what we did all week, or this last month, is talk about the life of Jesus. Just tell your friends about the life of Jesus. You all are familiar with Jesus' life. You've all heard the stories. Most of you have been in church all of your life. Just tell them about the life of Jesus. How he was born like us. How he lived a sinless life. He had a family. He had relationships. He was a human, just like us. He was a person, just like we were. He went around teaching people, loving people, and then tell them about how he died. The fact that he was buried, he rose again, the reason we celebrate on Easter, and that he did all of this for me, for you, for everybody. So, I know when we talk about the topic of sharing the gospel, it's scary, it's intimidating, but just as it says in verse 20, it says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded ye, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. God's always with us. In everything that we do, you're saved, God's with you. If you read your Bible, he'll show you the way. He'll help you. He'll make that sharing the gospel easier for you. Last week we talked about Jesus. We talked about why Jesus did all the things that he did. Like why Jesus came to earth, why he had a job, why he loved people, why he taught people, why he loved people even when they were sick. With Matthew, he was a tax collector. He was like a bad person to Jewish people. Stop. Lincoln, I know, don't touch his foot, but also you don't need to be laying on the couch. Why was God willing to come to earth and do all of those things for us? Well, in a world filled with sin, why would he want to come and suffer an awful death, a death fit for a criminal, even though he wasn't one? He did all that so we had the opportunity to spend eternity with him. This is the type of love that we should have for others, that we should be sharing. We should be sharing everything that we know about Jesus with other people. We should be, even if it's not easy, even if we don't always know the words, you know, we should always be taking an opportunity to just tell people about Jesus. Convey the message that you hear every week on Sunday. So, this is the last of the 4 weeks. This series for me, in my head, how it all plays out for me, is this is a build up, where I want to go for the next year. For the next year that you guys are in here, I want to focus on growing us. The whole reason that we're in You Grow or Youth, the camp or the out here, I guess, is to convey or to grow on everything that we've learned. So next week we're going to start a series called Planted. And my hopes are that we are wrapping up the year and that we can start for the next several weeks going and building up like some momentum, some excitement, some joy, that you guys can start to get a little bit, I guess some ideas on how you guys can follow Jesus. You're in the youth now. Most of the stories that we're going to talk about in class, you guys have heard at some point or the other, from the basic, from David and Goliath, all the way up. What do you got? So raising your hands up.
For the next year, do you mean from 2025 to 2026 or 365?
For the rest of this year, we're going to start a series to get us all fired up for Jesus, like to serve for serving Jesus. I don't know if I put the name of it, but I got it in here. But then my hopes are to build up some excitement and get us motivated to apply the things that we learn every Sunday, the things that we learn every Wednesday, you know. It's to grow. I want you guys to exercise your faith. Luke said on Wednesday night that you guys have opportunities to share devotion, share your testimony, do things like that. There's places in the church where you guys can get plugged in, serving at the harvest party, stuff like that. Taking opportunities to just exercise your faith. Invite friends, share your testimony, that kind of stuff. Start being actionable. I want you guys not to just sit here on Sunday, but to do something with what we are putting out to you guys, to expound on what we have, to just take opportunities to exercise and grow. So, somebody pray us out, and then we'll get into main service.